What's happening? Hour number two. Jay Martin, Ramon radio program here on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors here in Nashville. Jason Martin, NFL legend and Vol for Life Ramon Foster. Jonathan Schaefer, he's a legend in our hearts. On Twitter at Jay Martin and Ramon's where you can find us. And 104.5 The Zone TV. I'm chilling in the Twitch room now. I just logged in there. I don't have the comments in front of me on the screen. We have a little bit of an issue there, so I can't actually read those. But now that I'm here, we can see it. Now I see Ramon is in the chat room here on Twitch as well. And he says, congrats, but I have no idea what it's to because I only saw it when I logged in, so I don't know what's happened before.
Oh, who was it? Josh Stone, 1468, said he's sitting at a graduation right now listening to us this morning. And he's actually graduating from Mercer University. So congrats to you. As you listen in on us, man.
Graduation on Monday morning? That's interesting.
I don't know what he's got going on, but apparently he's got it going on. So, Jay, take him for his word, unless he's lying. Then we got to put him in a dark room, flip the light on.
Wait a second.
We're not going that far with him?
I don't know why you would lie about that. Like, if you're going to lie, you probably lie better, right? We need a better class of liar.
It could be a department graduation. There's usually early, and then they'll do the university graduation later. So, I mean, it's still kind of early. But, hey, Mercer University graduating class. Congratulations. Right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're listening to us.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they're graduating, too.
If he comments on this, let's
know. If he's in person, that's great, because last year you probably weren't.
Definitely wasn't in person last year.
So, the Predators start tonight against the Canes. The Titans, we've seen what they've done in the last few years. Cousin Mike tweeted us and kind of backed up the point that I was making, which is that the fact that the Predators are such an underdog, according to most. I think Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports said, you know, in the six games they played prior to these last few, they didn't belong on the same ice. They didn't look like they belonged on the same ice. That's how much better Carolina was than they were. But the Predators, when no one's paying attention to them, when they are full-on underdogs, tend to be awfully dangerous. There are a lot of teams like that. I compared them to Georgia football in the same way. Georgia goes and beats Auburn when nobody thought they were going to do it.
Huh.
Then they went back to Georgia and lost immediately to somebody else. And then they lost in the title game in the SEC. Or they get to Alabama in the championship game, and they've got a big lead, and then they go away from what gave them that lead. Then Tua comes in, they panic, and they lose the championship game. They find a way to lose when the expectations have grown. Mm-hmm. When you actually believe in them, mm-hmm. that's when they fall short. And Mike basically was saying not just the Predators, but the Titans, which we've talked about. Now, the last couple of years, the Titans, look, they won the division this past year. Mm-hmm. They won a lot of games these last few years. They're trying to turn that mentality around, and there's no shame in losing to Kansas City 2 years ago. This year against Baltimore, I just didn't know how I felt about either one of those teams going into the playoffs. They both had holes, but Tennessee's defense, I mean, what were you really going to expect based on what the defense had done all year long? But the bigger question is just how do you handle expectations? And is it true that Nashville tends to be a sports city where expectations don't usually work out too well for the home team?
In the sports world.
Right.
Yeah, in the sports world. And we did a side poll asking, mm-hmm. have you ever met anybody who hasn't had a great time here in Nashville? Which is of the belief that you want them to be in the same line as the city, where it's buzzing. Everybody's excited about it, but it doesn't fall that way for the sports team. And you got to ask yourself, you know, and I'm looking at comments on Twitch from Dark Goof, I guess is what he's calling his name. He's like, yeah, because it's make it where you can still get excited and always expect to win. With that, you can do something outside the box. Key Mike Vrabel, I guess with him knowing the rule book inside and out, knowing how to call time out and waste time and stuff like that, take penalties. But there's got to be you got to get to a point with all of the sports team here in the city to where you say, we expect to win. There's a standard that, look, we're above 500 at all times. Making the playoffs is an easy thing for us, and we expect to be in that conversation when it comes down to winning championships here. Again, both teams have been close. AFC Championship 2 years ago for the Titans at this point right now. 2017 for the Preds as far as making it to the Stanley Cup Finals. and still not able to host either trophy. And you got to expect, you got to ask yourself, well, what's the separator in all of these things? It can't be coaching for the most part, because we look at Vrabel. Yes, he's a young coach, but he's pretty good. Building the team right, having the ability to push over that line is where they got to make the next moves at. And again, when I play for the team I play for, there was an expectation. The playoffs is a given. It's not just winning the AFC South. It's not just winning, you know, or not just making it past the first round of the playoffs. You got to have higher goals when it comes down to where you want to be. And Nashville deserves a championship if the team is putting itself in a position. You got to think so also, especially with having a franchise quarterback, running back, and skill players now, which is why we continue to ask that question about the Titans. Did they do enough this offseason?
Well, here's that. That's a good question, but I think there's another thing here, and that is it possible that the expectations get too high too quickly? And then you actually look at the talent and you're just like, wait, maybe they actually overperformed and we need to just back off a little. Because what you're saying, certainly last year, appears to be the case, and they are proving it. At least they want you to believe that because of what they're doing this year. They paid all this money. They spent all this draft capital to fix certain positions. They recognize that. But the moves they made from a coaching standpoint tell you they want you to think it was on the field, not on the sideline, right? That's fair to say.
Yes, it was. And what did they do? I've heard coaches say, I'm going shopping this offseason. And they went shopping this offseason, man.
They did.
They went and got the Jimmy and Joes and said, you know what? It's not about what we got going on. As you said a second ago, it's just about what y'all got going on. And that sucks if that's going to be the narrative, though, too. Because at the end of the day, the product that you have, the guys you believe in, those are the most important things. If they're moving away from that and saying we're the aces when it comes to winning and losing games, then that sucks for this organization. Because you got to do better in that sense. Or you got to look at, hey, John Robinson, what are you actually doing as far as putting this team together? We have a comment right now. It's a funny name on Twitch, Jay, if you want to read it. General Hambone.
Oh, yeah, I see it now.
You see that? And then that's the thing, too. I found here this fan base is quick to move to the next thing. It's like, nah, if you're going to be in all the way. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm looking forward to going to these tailgates. I'm willing to see how much y'all sell out for this Tennessee Titans football team. And also watching the playoff game with the Preds and the Canes. Like, that is something I want to see, how much you sell out to it. Or is it woe is me all the time? It can't be that all the time. You got to be excited, good, bad, or indifferent when it comes down to your teams.
Look, I'm excited for the puck drop tonight. I'm excited to watch this. I'm excited to see how far this team can go and whether or not we just had a nice little run for the last 6 or 8 weeks or if there's going to be more to it. And, we asked Emily Proud when she was on with us last week. We said, is it a success already if they just go out and get beat by a better team in the first round and that's it? But they made it interesting. She said, no, they've got to get a couple of rounds.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that would say, no, it's a success today. I tend to agree with Emily Proud.
Mm-hmm. Overrun on this game is 5. Who's going to have the majority of that? Can the Preds win on the road tonight? I mean, they've proven they can hang with them, but you got to ask yourself, in the last couple of games that they had against Carolina, was Carolina just trying to cruise to a finish? Will they actually get the best of Carolina tonight, and who's going to come out on top? They can still win on the road, Jay. They're ahead, especially if they're coming back here and you get over 12,000 people in the Stone. Like, that's a good place to be at.
You just need it to become a party again. Schaefer put this in our Slack, and I have asked this question before. Is Nashville a great sports city or a great party city where the sports flourish and become the best party in town? Mm. What happened to the Predators was when they started to win and Bridgestone became so loud, then it became the place to be. Yeah. It became the happening spot, and then you would go straight from Bridgestone to Broadway, and you were down there.
Party.
And that's why I think it would be tough for baseball or something like that because I just don't see an outdoor baseball stadium becoming, because of so many regular season games that would be required, I don't see that becoming the biggest party. Everybody's on the search for the biggest party, whether or not that's a concert that night, whether or not it's someone's appearance somewhere, whether or not it's somebody doing stand-up somewhere. I mean, I remember – a couple of years ago, the biggest party in town was Chris Rock at Zany's on 8th, preparing new work for a comedy album, kind of pop-up shows. I went to that.
Yeah.
That was the biggest party in town that night. Nashville's going to find it, and they're going to be there. The Predators, Sean Henry, to his credit, and everybody with the Predators organization did a great job of making it into a party. Mm-hmm. Making it into, it was basically like Florida, Georgia, and the greatest outdoor cocktail party. That's what it felt like going to a Preds game. Mm-hmm. That's what they need back.
What was it when we went last week?
It was a lot of fun. It was getting there, and there were only, 7,500 people in the seats, give or take.
But it sounded, I mean, like you said, they've created an atmosphere, a party-like atmosphere. And, of course, we had fun in the suite, but even in the stands, you could feel it.
Yeah, it was. It was. And that's why, and Carolina recognizes this.
Yeah, buddy.
If Nashville can steal one from them in Raleigh, nobody wants to have to come here and win.
No.
Because it's not easy to win in this building, especially with fans starting to trickle back in and the capacity limits going up a little bit. It becomes electric.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes, look, a lot of people like to play in the building because it's fun to play in the building, other teams. But
when it's loud, when you see the home team juicing up, when you see the home team like, oh, there's a different move. Like, look, they're skating different.
That's the other. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Out there without a stick. That's the exact same thing. I'm making the argument of the Predators in Georgia. Playing between the hedges in Athens, it's fun, but it ain't easy.
It ain't easy.
At all. 615-737-1045. 737-1045. Moan's secondary poll at Ramon Foster this morning is, have you ever met anybody that's been to Nashville, or are you somebody that has come to Nashville and didn't like it, didn't have a good time while you were here? I think the list is awfully small, at least my list is. I can't even think of somebody who didn't like it that has come here to visit me or visit anybody. We'll be right back. It's J. Martin and Moan, 104.5 The Zone. Cousin Justin Brinkley, it's like you slap the word Tempe or Nashville on the front of a jersey. The fans will be hyped all the time, talking like bachelorette party woo loud. But the teams always overpromise and underperform. That's Titans, Vols, Preds. Sad, but that's who we are.
Hmm.
One thing that we have always kind of said as a show is that, yeah, it's true. Like, the Vol Twitter kind of, I guess you would say, stereotype, that some of the folks also overlap and are similar in the way that they pull for pro teams. And it's still a minority of the people that pull for those teams. But it is a perception. I don't think that the teams are overpromising. I think that the fans are overexpecting.
Mm-hmm. There's a fine line between both of those, too. So, it's playoff time. Preds got to get it done. Again, there's minimal sports going on. We're watching the Titans as they come out of rookie minicamp this weekend. But, again, when the puck drops tonight, Jay, who you got? You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah, and I've got Carolina.
First game at home. I mean,
and I don't mean just tonight. I mean, I could see the Predators winning one and making this interesting, making it a 6-game series. But if I actually had to pick, I'd say Canes in 5. I just think they're a better team.
Yeah. What is the majority of them? most of the analysts have chosen the Canes to win.
Of course. Jack is in Nashville. He's up with us here on the show. Jack, what's going on?
Hello?
Yeah,
morning,
I'm here.
Jack.
Hey, I wanted to ask Ramon if he could spell ask.
Hey, can I spell ask? Yeah, I do. I was wondering, could you spell get off the phone line?
Yeah, well, that was off. That was off awfully quickly. Appreciate that, brother.
Good.
Hope that was worth it.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's going to be a really good one this tonight anyway. It's the first game of the series, though, Jay.
Yeah.
When it comes up. So
Series is different. I mean, series is different. You obviously didn't experience that in the NFL. NFL was one and done. And so a lot of times you do get the opportunity to get some new blood through a little bit deeper than maybe otherwise. Like, usually that's the problem in a lot of these other sports, is it is harder to beat the better team 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 7 times as opposed to any given Sunday, as the old adage goes.
So it
changes up, and I wasn't referring to the movie there, but we can do that if you want to talk about that itch.
I remember when he spit on his lip.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be exciting. I want to see what the views is going to be like, what the ratings during the game, man. But where are we at? You got the Canes. I'll take Canes tonight. We're going to see how it all works out, though.
Yeah.
All right, home,
I mean,
for the first time.
I think the easiest one for the road team to steal is the first game.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see Nashville winning tonight. And if they do, then I'll say the series goes 6. I just think the Hurricanes are a better team. Could I see a universe in which Nashville wins? Sure, because I can see a universe where anybody wins at any given time on any given day. Sports is unpredictable, or we wouldn't have any reason to talk about it.
But listen to the Nashville crowd, though. This is exactly where you want the Predators to be.
Underdog is a very favorable role for Nashville to play historically, and that's a positive. You mentioned Titans rookie camp this weekend.
Yeah.
You saw a little bit, right? I mean,
yeah,
you
saw a little bit
saw
of it.
Some of the, we saw a couple of the videos pop out that Jim Wyatt had put out at TennesseeTitans.com and Buck and a lot, and some of those guys over at A to Z and everything else. It seems as if all the rookies want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Farley can't practice. I'm not going to say anything about that because we knew he wasn't going to be practicing yet.
Exactly.
He's doing everything he can. He's studying the playbook. He's part of all this kind of stuff. Rashad Weaver was the most interesting thing mm-hmm. to me.
I know.
6'4 with long arms at 259, I think, as a linebacker. But just being there and what Vrabel had to say was really just, yeah, we're taking this seriously, but we're going to let this play out. And
yeah.
I think that's the right tactic to make. Like, as soon as they find out there's something legit here,
mm-hmm.
then they'll pull him. But until that point, why would they not just – there's not anything for them to do unless they have some conclusion that the legal system hasn't come to yet.
He basically said that he don't have the answers for it right now.
Which is what you should say.
Which is, and just, I'll say this too. Looking at him, though, Rashad Weaver, he looks like a player. He's a big kid, man. Like, legitimately, I see why he has some talent. Again, you hope that this situation isn't true, number one, or that he's proven innocent with everything that happened with him on those Pittsburgh streets, man. So he is a type that you can tell they were looking for, and they were able to get him. Fourth round draft pick is nothing to just sneeze at, man. This is a kid that, if available, he's going to be nice. Again, they gave him 99. I was reading up on that, Jarrell Casey's old number. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that's not one that's just passed out easy. Two nines right there, man. So I'm looking for, if he has the ability to make this roster and be on this team and not be on the commissioner exempt list, that he's going to be somebody that's able to help them again. Having Bud come back from this ACL, you don't know how, you know, their timeline going to be, because they have a training staff, medical staff that's err on the side of caution when getting guys back. You talk about Caleb Farley a second ago. They say he's in the training room just rehabbing. He's trying to get in the best shape of his life. So he's just got to wait and see. Rashad Weaver is a kid that you think is going to be able to have the ability to help out early on, especially with the detail that he was getting from Mike Vrabel, looking at the video that was put out there this past weekend. That shows a lot that, look, he's just looking at the football player right now. Let the legal side handle itself and move forward from there.
I think it's the right tactic, because there's no reason for them to think anything else until there's a conclusion. You just act prudently. You act smart. You act the way most teams and most businesses would in this case, and I think this is probably the appropriate tactic to take. Rookie camp, what are your memories of that, Mo?
Nervous. I'm talking about not knowing anything about anything.
Do you feel like everybody's watching you?
Heck,
do you feel
yeah.
like all the coaches that are, they're just like, there are, because you always get that, look, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. This is the first time they're going to see you after they've drafted you.
Yep.
Like, now they've got you. Now they want to start teaching you things and seeing where you are and all that kind of stuff. You almost feel like, I would imagine, it's just like people all have binoculars directly
yes.
on you on every second that you're out there.
And I would say this, for the first time, and I think in my career, going to an NFL team that had cameras not just in the sky, like, you know, at the podiums around or at the posts around the practice field, but they have them individual. They have them in every little thing that you do. So you literally been watched at every single thing that you do. And all you can think is, man, did college prepare me enough? Am I the athlete that they're looking for? Am I the guy that has the ability to make this team? No lie, hands down, one of the most nerve-wracking, unsure moments in your young professional career. Because you look at the draft picks, too, it's like, yeah, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good. I say when you get to about the 6 or 7 round guy, though, you start measuring yourself towards him. It's like, can I do this? Can I do that? At that point, we didn't have a whole lot of just – media coverage around us as far as having video and stuff like that at practice, but the coaches let you know everything. You just hope that you weren't falling behind each and every day that you were out there. Those kids, man, that went to the Titans mini camp this weekend, I'm sure it was tiresome. I saw one of the young kids end up cramping up and had to be removed from practice for a little bit. And it probably wasn't the fact that he was out of shape. It was probably due to the fact that he was just so excited and wound up that he didn't think about drinking water. He didn't think about doing anything else other than just selling out for the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that goes crazy whenever you're auditioning for a job. I mean, there's not much that you can do other than perform. And you, like I said, you hope that your university did a really good job of preparing you. That's one thing that I will give the University of Tennessee. There's a few things I'll give them, but
I would hope so.
Yeah, no.
As you wear the power tee today.
I got the tee on today. But they prepared us well. As far as the physical side of it, learning technique is something that every coach is different for the most part. But the physical side of expecting what's to come for you in those mini camp sessions against players from other cities and schools and states and whatnot, UT did a very good job of preparing me for what happened in my pro career.
So when you were reading about this, you know, the guy, the one that stood out to me, the one I was just most interested to get, for instance, Jim Wyatt's take on was Dez Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Because of that position and how important it is. And I can't think of a position that's more important for a franchise than wide receiver in this kind of NFL.
Yes.
That I feel less sure about right now than the Tennessee Titans group. Mm-hmm. So they go grab Racing McMath, certainly, but that's a little bit of a deeper situation. But they get Dez Fitzpatrick, and they need him to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And they need him to be pretty good fairly quickly. And here's what was written at TennesseeTitans.com by our friend Jim Wyatt. He showed off some flexibility during the stretch period. He looks the part. I was impressed with how he caught the ball with his hands during drills. His footwork was also very clean. You didn't see a lot of negatives about him in that day. Like, you never know. Maybe you end up with a gym here from day three, and we're not talking about not going up and getting somebody else or even trading out of Amari Rodgers. We don't know that for certain, but anything positive that you read about Dez Fitzpatrick early from mm-hmm. people that you trust that cover this team, that's a good thing because that's the guy whose eyes I have right now because he's going to be on the field.
Yes.
He has to be.
So listening to Blaine and Mickey last week, they had a Louisville reporter that had covered Louisville Cardinals for years. And if you could have heard the conversation that he had about Dez Fitzpatrick.
I heard part of it because they went straight from him to the Monty Rice conversation
sure
with
did.
The Georgia writer.
And the way this reporter, who has no real allegiance to the person that he was to the University of Louisville, talked very highly of him. He knew that his hands, which is one of his draft knocks, was something he had to work on. He spoke about how he was putting himself in a position to be better at that. He spoke about his speed. He spoke about his leadership. He spoke about his toughness in a way that he kind of sold me on Dez Fitzpatrick making the Titans coaching staff, scouting department comfortable in drafting him. If you can go back and podcast Blaine and Mickey's show last week, it may have been Thursday.
I think it was Thursday.
And hear how this Louisville reporter spoke about Dez Fitzpatrick. Again, he's no Corey, okay? He's no Julio.
But he wasn't drafted fifth overall, and people – and whoever – when Atlanta paid pretty heavy ransom to go up, if I'm not mistaken, to get Julio.
Yeah.
To trade up so that they can make that selection. And, yeah, it's paid off.
It's paid off
nicely for them. But when you grab a receiver in the,
And what was the fifth?
Fourth round?
Fourth round?
The expectations are going to be lower there, even though they had to trade a few extra picks. They were trading day three picks.
But you got to look at the people who saw this kid grow up, who saw this kid be a leader on the team, in which they weren't fighting for conference championships. But he goes from a Lamar Jackson to I'm not even sure who Louisville's starting quarterback is right now, and to still be able to produce. And he was the guy there. When asked about when Blaine and Mickey asked him who's going to have a better career. Who's the Tutu Atwell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other Louisville receiver?
Mm-hmm.
This report, and I have to get his name just so we're correct on citing it, but he said he has a better outlook on Dez Fitzpatrick than he does Tutu Atwell. And Tutu went in the second round, I think.
And the other thing about Dez Fitzpatrick that you can say, and this was said after he was picked, is, look, that dude was still putting up numbers, and they haven't had a quarterback worth of crap since Lamar left.
Exactly.
But he's still been there putting up numbers after the fact. So clearly, he's got some skills and he's got some talent. Well, obviously, I mean, he was drafted by an NFL team in the fourth round. But since Lamar, they've had nobody at quarterback.
I could not tell you who their quarterback is right now, and I probably should be able to, but I
don't
can't.
Know if you should or not.
No, probably not. But I'm a firm believer that stars are born every year in this league. Now, I'm not calling Des Fitzpatrick a star. What I'm calling him is a guy that a few people have confidence in to say that he can fill a position that's needed here in this Tennessee Titans team. Because, again, when you throw the scenarios out of, Julio Jones coming to Nashville, you're going to have to pay a ransom for that still. And I think it was Buck that had Diana Rossini on last week and said, that's 100% chance that's not going to happen.
Yes.
Are you willing to give up something to give Julio? I'm sure you might be, but I don't think you're willing to give up your whole franchise for a guy that might have maybe 2 years left as far as his prime. Even then, you got to ask yourself, what is his prime now?
It's a question we're going to get an answer to at some point, right?
Yeah.
Josh is in Franklin, Kentucky. Josh, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm going along with you guys talking about Nashville in the spotlight and how they underperform sometimes. I was just thinking of the coaches. Nashville lets go of coaches a little bit too early, because I feel like with Mularkey and Munchak, they performed, they got more out of players that weren't that good and went further. And then you look at the Predators right now, you got coaches right now that might get out of the first round, and they don't, with Trotz and Laviolette. I mean, is that something that they would have to look at and think that maybe they made wrong decisions on?
Could be. It certainly could be. Those are good thoughts.
Consistency is something that goes a very long way. Having a culture in place, and I will give Coach Vrabel and his staff that, they've created a culture so far that says to us as people who are watching them develop more and more, like, they got something. And that's what you need, man. When you walk into a building and you expect something, then you know exactly what to do.
I would say the expect word's important, because we talked about the expectations of the fans and sometimes maybe expecting too much based on, what we saw in the past. Maybe there was an overperformance that wasn't taken into consideration. But what I will say is they give off the impression in that building like the expectations are fair to have.
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel does, John Robinson does. There's a bit of machismo to the Titans organization, the way that it's portrayed. They want you to believe that they believe that they're going to go in and get the job done. Now, doesn't mean that they've actually done that in terms of winning a Super Bowl, but it does mean that they've made some positive mm-hmm. things happen, and the expectations come off of a very confident-sounding head coach. And a very confident and competent sounding general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a step in the right direction, no question about it. 615-737-1045, 737-1045. That's the telephone number. We do have your comments now up. Twitch, Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube. So we can continue to comment on those. We're seeing some people commenting right now on Des Fitzpatrick and things of that nature. So we'll come back. We'll read some of your best. You can get us at 737-1045. We're back in five on 104.5 The Zone. Jay Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. It's Jason Martin Ramon, Foster Jonathan Schaefer. In reverse order of importance, said right there. At Schaefer on Sports, at Ramon Foster. At J Mart Radio, at J Mart and Ramon. Birthdays today. Bob Saget is 65 years old today. Danny Tanner.
65?
America's Funniest Videos and some of the dirtiest stand-up comedy of all time.
Yes, it is. It started off with him and Half Baked, wasn't it? That's what I remember him
going
on.
Long before
that. Yeah, golly.
Long before that. Craig Ferguson, 59 years old today. Former late-night host after David Letterman on CBS.
Mm-hmm. Big Craig Ferguson fan.
He's pretty funny. He can be very funny.
Saw him do stand-up over at TPAC. Really good show.
Here's a dude that I'm a very big fan of. Trent Reznor turns 56 years old today.
Oh, is he in the Terminator?
9-inch Nails. I know that's hilarious. I'm just going to go right past it. He probably was.
Say that name again.
Trent Reznor.
Terminator. That sounds like it goes.
He could have done music for it back in the day. Jordan Knight is 51. Do you know who Jordan Knight is, Moan?
He was in a movie Like Mike.
Do you know who it is, Shafe?
It's an R&B artist.
No.
Brian's brother? McKnight?
Yeah, yeah, that's Brian McKnight.
Sure.
Jordan Knight is one of the new kids on the block.
Oh, okay. My bad.
I was actually closer than Ramon was on that.
You were, but I don't think being that close to last. I'm thinking we all lost right there.
We did. Who else we got?
Jim Nantz, 62.
Okay.
Sugar Ray Leonard, 65.
Awesome.
Bill Paxton.
The late
Bill Paxton.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Would have been. I actually don't even have his age in front of me here, but would have been his birthday. What's interesting about this is, it says, I'm looking at this from Cleveland.com. It says, other popular historical birthdays for May 17th. Jim Nantz is written here like he's passed away.
But the one that's
I'm pretty
away.
Sure he's still alive, unless I missed something like yesterday.
We are not doing that on this show. He's alive and well, baby.
Yes.
Hello, friends.
But where it's written, like, I see some of this stuff, and it's like, all right, some big names here. Craig Ferguson, Bob Saget, Trent Reznor, Jordan Knight. I think right about that point in time of Jordan Knight, I'm probably putting Jim Nantz in the list and putting Jordan Knight in the other birthdays. I'm certainly putting Jim Nantz over Sasha Alexander.
Sasha Alexander? I gotta look
She's
that
48.
Up. She's 48.
She was in an episode of Friends. And then there's actress Nikki Reed turns 33. Like, great.
Who?
I think Jim Nantz is more known than her.
Way more. I don't know. They chose violence in that list. That's all it was.
It's still a pretty good list, though.
Yeah, 100%.
There were some good ones over the weekend that I was sad that we couldn't
celebrate.
That we couldn't enjoy.
Who?
Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, James Bond.
Deborah Winger, Janet Jackson turned 55 this weekend.
She was trending on social media.
Deborah Winger.
Yeah, I mentioned her, yeah. Tori Spelling.
Yep.
Megan Fox.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of names. Chris Novoselic, Shafe.
Nirvana.
Yes.
Okay.
I wasn't even going to ask you, Moan.
I was ready, too.
I feel like if you had a shot at Jordan Knight and didn't know New Kids, I felt pretty good that you didn't know who Chris Novoselic was.
I was about to go B2K.
Ralph Tresvant.
Okay.
My birthday this weekend.
There we go.
Mr. Tracy Gold, Chafe.
Growing Pains?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know what Growing Pains is, Mo?
Growing Pains is when I had to go to the doctor when I was like 12 years old, and the doctor's like, no, there's nothing wrong with your knees. You just have growing pains.
See, that's true. That's true.
You asked me.
That's right.
Do you know what it is when it's not in reference to you and your health?
This is a TV show.
Yes.
Yay!
Did you guess at that, or were you actually aware
no,
of
I
that?
No, I actually am aware of that.
Danny Trejo also.
Danny Trejo?
Machete. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm. You know who that is?
Is it from Karate Kid? Karate Kid.
Hashtag I'm done with you.
What are you talking about? Oh, my gosh.
What do you want from me, man?
No, it started when I asked a question on social media, about, well, have anybody ever had a bad time in Nashville? And somebody retweeted it and said LeGarrette Blount when he dipped out on us on Thursday night. Whew, that's when it turned over for me.
You feel like telling that story?
I could tell that story. That's a good tease. On top of what happened to the kid at Austin Peay this past weekend.
Yeah,
too,
I want to talk. I want to talk about that, but I don't want to do that at the end of an hour. I respect that he said, I don't want to tell the story over and over again. So it's not like we're going to reach out to have him on the program or anything, because I understand his point. I also hope that this backfires on the person that tried to make this happen, and he gets a look just because of this.
Mm-hmm. That sucks.
Absolute trash. If you have not heard the story, we'll talk about that to open the third hour. Also, Coach Dave McGinnis, Teresa Walker, still set to join us over the next 2 hours, and you can join us as well at 615-737-1045. Halfway home means we got halfway to go. Good for you. We'll be right back. It is Jay Martin Ramon here on 104.5 The Zone.